It is a gorgeous morning out there, and welcome to University United Methodist Church. I'm Barbara Foat. I'm one of the members here, and I am here to welcome you whatever brings you here, whether it is your custom to come every Sunday or thereabouts, whether it is because you're just curious, and we have a couple curious seekers here today, so welcome. Or if there's something in your life that's a bit of a crisis and you wanted some meditative time and to be a part of a community of faith, please know that you are welcome here. We have a visitor's brochure. I'm going to dig it out here that looks like this. I'm on the welcome team, and if I or one of the other members of the welcome team don't get to you, you can pick one up in the back, but we will try to connect with you and say hello. You should find in your bulletin a yellow slip, and on one side is attendance. Whether you've been here forever or this is your first time, we would love to have a record that you were here and some contact information if you're new. And then if you flip it over, the other side is an opportunity to write a prayer request. The prayer request will be collected later in the service. And otherwise, put the yellow slip in the offering plate, and we'll remind you of that later. You'll find the worship order in the bulletin. It's an abbreviated form. We have QR codes in the pew that will give you the full worship service. If you understand what all that is, and if you don't, just ask a 14-year-old. And let's see. Restrooms and childcare are out this way. Oh, that's right. No, that's my next thing, and I did not. Restrooms are out this way. My next thing, and I didn't put with this, is no child care today, so keep the children, and the rest of us won't mind if they're a little bit noisy. Gathering room after the service is right behind me. You can get a cup of cold water or maybe some coffee. And I'd remind you about our safe sanctuary policy, which means children should be kept with an adult all the time while they're in the building. Our super extraordinaire person of the day is Ted Finlayson-Schuler, who did all the graphics, helped design the worship service, is preaching, and coordinated the breakfast this morning, and probably something else. So, Ted, thank you for all of your gifts today. And Lois Lum is here, will be providing special music, and I'll be also your liturgist. So I think those are the logistics. Again, welcome. And we're going to move into a hymn sing. And I want you to pay particular attention to the picture up there. Do you notice what they are singing from? Does anybody recognize a symbol there? They're the Methodist Flame. So they are singing there in Africa, I think it is, from a United Methodist hymnal. And so we're going to hopefully duplicate the African spirit and singing loudly and full for our hymn sing. And I welcome Amy, our choir director, to lead that.
Good morning, everybody. Today, would you please raise your hand if you have a hymn sing you want us to sing? We're looking to give many people the opportunity to have a voice and select a hymn. So if you've been too shy to do so before, please raise your hand if you have something you'd like to sing. Yes. Okay, 274. And today, I want everyone to know this is going to look a little different. We're trying something new. We're going to hear our talented organist, Dennis, play the melody once through before we sing our hymns, just to help us get the tune down. So when we get to sing, we can all sing out in full voice. 274. We're going to sing the third verse.
Children and
Well, I did not know that one. Thank you for sharing something new with us that was a favorite of yours. Yes. 558.
Church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yours for the church together. The church is not a building, the church is not a steeple, the church is not a resting place, the church is a people. I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yours for the church together.
Would you raise your hand if you have something else? Yes? Okay. 402?
577.
Good morning. As Barbara mentioned, I'm Ted Finlayson-Schuler, and I'm the chair of the worship team, and I'm delighted you are all here today. So delighted to see so many visitors. Pastor Alicia Wood is in England on an exciting professional development venture, studying the Wesleyan tradition in 21st century context, and our worship series in August will be structured around what she learns during her study. We're collecting images of the people of God, so if there are people in your life who you'd like to add to our collection of the people of God, please bring those in next week. Just because we can imagine the people of God in the lovely description of our theme song does not mean that we are there yet. These words from the song, seeking the way of Jesus Christ, trusting the courage to change, remind us that this is a process of moving in the direction of fully loving each other and each one of our neighbors. Today's service is built around the theme of transformation. Soak in the words of the songs, prayers, and scriptures, and open yourself to God's movement in your life. The good news is that we are not only endowed with imagination, but we can rely on the courage God gives us to be the change we want to see in the world. Please remain seated and join me in singing our theme song, Imagine the People of God.
Imagine, imagine the people of God. Imagine the people of God. Believing, receiving, becoming God's love. Imagine the people of God. Seeking the way of Jesus Christ. Trusting the courage to change. Imagine the people of God. Growing, becoming community. Imagine the people of God. Trusting in God's abundant grace. Speaking the truth in love, nourished on the Spirit's power, we are your people, O God. Imagine, imagine the people of God. Imagine the people of God. Believing, receiving, becoming God's love. We are your people, O God.
Please stand if you are able. Otherwise, join us in spirit and we will together say the call to worship displayed on the screen. This is the place, O God, and this is the time. To change our minds, to change our attitudes, to transform our ways, to transform our very lives. To help us smell the fragrance of your glory, to breathe in the freshness of your Holy Spirit. To discover you in the unexpected, to worship you with our whole selves. Come, Spirit of God, with your power and your presence, help us change the world. Amen. Now, you don't have to imagine the people of God, or you don't have to have great eyesight to see all of the people up there. We are the people of God. You are surrounded by them. We're going to pass the peace in a moment, but let me just tell you, when you hear the music, that's a signal for you to return to your seats. So now take a moment to share the love of Christ with a handshake, a fist bump, a good morning with your neighbor.
A kid at heart.
What a mighty God we serve. 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 You alone, praise God's name. Let us shout and praise God's name. Let us shout and praise God's name.
I'm going to go in front. Your kids can come on down.
And praise God's name.
Come on down, kids. Right? If you guys come up here, I'll stay down here, and that way I don't have to bend my knees. Good morning, children. Morning. All right, we're making it up the stairs. Good morning. Pastor Alicia wanted me to say that she will see you in a couple of weeks because she went to England to learn all about John Wesley, who was the man who started the whole Methodist Church, the church that's all over the world. And today, I'm going to be reading a book to you. And any of you ever heard of the book Harold and the Purple Crayon? You ever hear that book? How about out here? Anybody remember the book Harold and the Purple Crayon? Okay, well, so you need to pay attention at the same time as they are because this is going to be part of the sermon. So this is kind of warming you up a little bit for the sermon, okay? So you're going to be able to, everybody see the screen in the back there? Because I'm going to read and you guys watch the screen because that's where the pictures are going to be, all right? So one evening, after thinking it over for some time, Harold decides to go for a walk in the moonlight. There wasn't any moon. And so Harold needed a moon for a walk in the moonlight. So what did he do? He created a moon. He needed something to walk on, so he made a long straight path so he wouldn't get lost. And he set off on his walk, but he didn't seem to be getting anywhere on that long straight path. So he left the path for a shortcut across the field, and the moon went with him. He didn't want to get lost in the woods, so he made a very small forest with just one tree in it. It turned out to be an apple tree. The apples would be very tasty, Harold thought, when they got red. So he put a frightening dragon under the tree to guard the apples. It was a terribly frightening dragon. It even frightened Harold. He backed away. His hand holding the purple crayon shook. And suddenly he realized what has happened. By then, Harold was over his head in an ocean. He came up thinking fast, and in no time, he was climbing into a trim little boat, and he quickly set sail, and the moon sailed with him. After he had sailed long enough, Harold made land without much trouble. He stepped ashore on the beach, wondering where he was. The sandy beach reminded him of picnics, and the thought of picnics made him hungry. So he laid out a nice, simple picnic lunch, and there was nothing but pie. There were all nine kinds of pie that Harold liked best. When he finished his picnic, there was quite a lot left, and he hated to see so much delicious pie go to waste. So Harold left a very hungry moose and a porcupine to finish off the dinner. And off he went, looking for a hill to climb to see where he was. Harold knew the higher up he went, the farther he could see, so he decided to make the hill into a mountain. If he went high enough, he thought, he could see the window of his bedroom. He was tired and felt he ought to be getting to bed. He hoped he could see his bedroom window from the top of the mountain. But as he looked over the other side, he slipped. And there wasn't any other side of the mountain. He was falling in thin air. But luckily, he kept his wits and his purple crayon. He made a balloon, and he grabbed onto it. And he made a basket under the balloon big enough to stand in. He had a fine view from the balloon, but he couldn't see his window. He couldn't even see a house. So he made a house with windows, and he landed the balloon on the grass in the front yard. None of the windows was his window. He tried to think where his window ought to be. He made some more windows. He made lots of buildings full of windows. He made a whole city full of windows. But none of the windows was his window. He couldn't think where it might be. And he walked along with the moon, wishing he was in his room and his bed. Then suddenly Harold remembered. He remembered where his bedroom window was when there was a moon. It was always right around the moon. And then Harold made his bed. He got in and he drew up the covers. The purple crayon dropped on the floor, and Harold dropped off to sleep. So what did Harold use to design the world around him? He just used a crayon. Everything he wanted to see or do, he used a crayon. What was the only thing that was in every window? What was in every window? The moon. You're right. The moon is kind of like God for us. Once we love God, God is with us wherever we go. Would you pray with me? Dear God, as we grow up, we want to explore the world just like Harold did. Make us smart enough to listen to you and make good choices. We're so glad that you are always with us, just like the moon was for Harold. Thank you for keeping us safe, and thank you for loving us so much. We pray this in your many names. Amen. Okay, head on back to the folks you came with. Thank you.
I must confess I had never read the book, so I guess I missed that in my childhood or my grandchildren's lives. So thank you. We're going to move now as the children return to their seats to a time of prayer. And as we begin, I'd like for you to listen to these words from James Broughton. Shake out your qualms. Shake up your dreams. Deepen your roots. Extend your branches. Trust deep water and head for the open, even if your vision shipwrecks you. Nothing perishes, nothing survives, but everything transforms. Everything transforms, even us. And that may be a key purpose of prayer, to help us be in the right position. If you have a prayer slip, make sure you've marked whether it's okay for us to read it, and I will ask the ushers to collect those as we sing, or if you prefer just to listen, that's fine. Our prayer time singing is As the Deer.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
Dear God, we have named people, places, and situations that are in our hearts today. Still more is too deep for speech and remains unspoken. We hold these concerns for each other and we offer it all to you, God, in your mercy. We'll have a time now of silent prayer, and then I will share a prayer, a familiar one from St. Francis of Assisi, and then I'll ask you to join me in the Lord's Prayer, and please feel free to say this in whatever language helps you feel closest to God. So as we begin a time of silent prayer, just take a deep breath, let it out, and get comfortable, and allow the Holy Spirit to fill your consciousness as you open your heart to God. O Holy One, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Darkness, light. Sadness, joy. O Divine One, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, and to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Please join me in the prayer Jesus taught us. Creator God, who are in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God's kingdom really becomes real as we use our imaginations to reshape the world we live in here for love. We must imagine that, and we've got to work and act together on it. Please stand in body or spirit and join in singing When God Restores Our Common Life. It's a new hymn, but a familiar name, and it will be up on the screen.
The fruit of all our
To be seated. In today's scripture from Paul's letter to the Romans, Paul is explaining to us how to let God into your life and transform it. And he cautions against unwittingly letting your life conform to society. And I don't know about you, but that's kind of hard for me sometimes. I'm really pleased that Ted chose the passage from The Message, which is a paraphrase translation, because you hear it in a different way if you're accustomed to this scripture. It is on page 215 in a different translation in the Bibles there in your pew. So hear these words. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what God wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you, and it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what God does for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. This is the word and wisdom of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Bless the words of my mouth and the ears that receive them. May the message of your love for us and the joy of loving you be present now with us. Amen. Harold uses his purple crayon to transform his world. As we think about our theme for this week of transformation, perhaps there are some lessons we can draw from this celebrated children's book that has stayed in print for over 60 years. I was 5 when it was published in 1955, and it was one of my favorite books as a young reader. I probably wasn't thinking of Harold's story as it relates to St. Paul's letter to the Romans at that time, but there was something about the story that seemed dear to me. You see, Harold goes through a variety of transformative experiences, but ends up where he started. But I will suggest ends up as a different person. I'm sure that ending the tale as Harold draws up the covers, a lovely play on words as he draws up the covers with his crayon, it created a sense of comfort for me and other 5-year-olds. The moral of the story, as we say, is that you can follow your inner voice, and yet those things that ground you, your ultimate safety net, is still there if you recognize it. St. Paul tells us to readily recognize what God wants from you and quickly respond to it. Quick thinking was surely Harold's forte. Once Harold's adventure is underway, we tend to forget that his original intention was simply to take a walk in the moonlight. But once on his walk in the moonlight, he responded to his inner voice. We need to remember that it wasn't always helpful, because sometimes we get discouraged when our inner voice seems to be tuned to the wrong channel. His inner voice had some good ideas, 9 kinds of pie for lunch, it doesn't get much better than that, and some not so good ideas, like making a dragon so scary that he scared himself. The story begins with Harold realizing that to take a walk in the moonlight, he needed a moon. Once he had drawn the moon, it followed him everywhere. He had to keep drawing everything else, but the moon followed him throughout his adventures. As he began to get tired and decides to look for his bedroom window, he draws windows, houses full of windows, then a whole city full of windows, but he cannot find his window in his home. It isn't until he remembers the moon. He can always see the moon through his bedroom window, and that he can ground himself and find his window and bed. He may not have noticed the moon throughout his travels, but it was always there. I believe that the metaphor of Harold's moonwalk can be used to understand the God walk that St. Paul is explaining to the church at Rome. Once we are in relationship with God, whether we best understand that relationship through an omniscient God, or human yet divine Jesus, or as the ever-present Holy Spirit, God stays with us no matter where our adventures take us. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering, Paul tells the Romans. And then he goes on to say, you'll be turned inside out. I didn't know that inside out teddy bears were a thing, but apparently they are a thing these days. Harold finally gets home at the end of his moonwalk after he understands that home exists in relationship to the moon, just as we find our home here, in relationship to this church family and in this sacred space that evokes the beauty and glory and presence of God in God's many ways of being. But Harold is different on the inside after he gets home, I would suggest, even if the bedroom looks just the same. If I can take the liberty of continuing the story, I'm imagining that Harold's encounters with the beautiful apples, the scary dragon, the yummy pies, close calls with drowning and falling off a mountaintop, and then his desperate search for home have to have made him a different person. I believe that he had certainly been changed from the inside out. Has ever a time seemed more in need of transformation than this time we live in right now? Perhaps. Methodism was founded in another time of profound income inequity. The people that John Wesley preached to and organized into Methodist societies were not welcome in the Anglican churches that the middle and upper class folks attended. Wesley said this, I continue to dream and pray about a revival of holiness in our day that moves forth in vision and creates authentic community in which each person can be unleashed through the empowerment of the Spirit to fulfill God's creational intentions. I'm going to read that again. I continue to dream and pray about a revival of holiness in our day that moves forth in vision and creates authentic community in which each person can be unleashed through the empowerment of the Spirit to fulfill God's creational intentions. Transformation, a revival of holiness in our day, is what Wesley called for in his time. It is what the Poor People's Campaign is calling for in carrying on the mission of Dr. Martin Luther King. And it is what Paul was talking about when he cautioned the Romans, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best in you. One of the articles that Pastor Alicia read in preparation for her study trip to England pointed out how radical Wesley's Methodist societies were in 18th century England. We must critique the culture around us and not, as Paul said, get so well adjusted that we fit in without thinking. So what is God's creational intention for you or for me? How do we create community here that unleashes us to fulfill God's creational intention? We believe as part of the Judeo-Christian tradition that God labeled all of creation very good. Creation is to be in harmony with itself, and we, as potentially the most beneficial or harmful of all species, are to be careful stewards of it all. When asked what God's creational intention was for us, Jesus clarifies what it means for us. He said, love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbors as yourself. The process of transformation is beautifully illustrated in the words of the hymn we just sang. So often these hymns have amazing messages, but we go so wrapped up in the singing that we don't have time to savor the words. The hymnist follows the process of transformation from desperation to the joy of becoming in relationship with God, to taking on God's creational mission despite its difficulty, and finally to celebrating bringing in God's kingdom here and now. So let me just read these words from the hymn. When God restored our common life, our hope, our liberty, at first it seemed a passing dream, a waking fantasy. Could it be as good as God says it is? A shock of joy swept over us, for we had wept so long. The seeds we watered once with tears sprang up into a song. We went forth weeping, sowing seeds in hard, unyielding soil. With laughing hearts, we carry home the fruit of all our toil. We praise the one who gave the growth with voices full and strong. The seeds we watered once with tears sprang up into a song. If you, if I, if this church is to be transformed, you, me, us, we must desire transformation. We must believe that we will carry home the fruit of all our toil. We must believe that it's important to do each caring act, no matter how insignificant it might seem at the time. And we must be willing to get out our crayons and create whole new structures and ideas that can change everything. And finally, we must remember God's words of promise, Paul's words of promise. God brings it all to us. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and what God does for us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ted. Thoughtful. I'm going to have to chew on that a little bit more this week. As we transition now in our worship service, our service to God's community begins. Ways that we're already transforming this neighborhood and our world, and ways that we can do more. Let me start with one. I think this is amazing transformation. Most of you, I think, know that Syracuse has a significant poverty program, that there are so many children in our Syracuse City schools that the schools who go hungry, that they provide breakfast and lunch. But what happens to those children when they go home for the weekend? Some of them don't have food. So there's this wonderful program called Blessings in a Backpack. And we were invited a few months ago to participate in that. And Sharon Smith tells me that the Blessings in a Backpack program is going very well. I would say amazing for this church. The program here in Syracuse is feeding 350 students on weekends. They get to take a backpack or a bag home. And this church, she says, donated $2,500. Is that not transformation? Am I right there? This church was $2,500, right? That's amazing transformation. I agree. And Sharon says the program is very appreciative of our help, and the national organization this year is going to donate actual backpacks for the kids this year. So Sharon says thank you, and thank you to Sharon for coordinating our efforts. That's transformation, folks. That's amazing. A couple other ways you can help in transformation, big or small. Vacation Bible School is coming up. You'll see in your bulletin it's the 19th through the 23rd. I don't see Morgan here, but her email is here. We need people to help with Vacation Bible School. It's evenings, I believe, and we need people to fix snacks and do all kinds of things. So if you can help out that week, please email Morgan about that. And then, who likes ice cream? I live with somebody who really likes ice cream, and we are looking for somebody to lead the planning for an ice cream social that we might have for our congregation, but mostly for the folks in the neighborhood here. And so please check in at the office if you're able to do that. There's many other things in the bulletin of ways that you can begin that transformation process, so please take a look at those after the service. Let me make a transition then to say that God is calling us to transform the world here and around our neighborhood and around the world, and we need to support that with our resources as we've been doing here. If you're a first-time visitor today, we do not expect a donation from you. You are our guest today. But we will now take time to do our offering, and remember those yellow slips. If you didn't put it as a prayer request, please drop that in the offering plate, and the ushers will come now as we're looking forward to hearing Lois's song. Imagine living life embracing God's love for your life fully. Imagine God's love infusing everything you do. Please join me in the unison prayer of dedication. It's based on words of Clarissa Pinkola Estes. Ours is not the task of fixing the entire world all at once, but of stretching out to mend the part of the world that is within our reach. Any small, calm thing that one soul can do to help another soul, to assist some portion of this poor, suffering world, will help immensely. It's not given to us to know which acts or by whom will cause the critical mass to tip toward an enduring good. Grant us the wisdom to act for good again and again. Amen. Please remain standing and join me in singing Song of Hope, displayed on the screen. We'll sing it through two times, and I would encourage you, try the Spanish the second time through.
Show up to all its pain and beauty. Show up for yourself, for your neighbor, for the sake of those who went before, and for the sake of all that is living on this earth. Go in peace and courage, for God goes with you. Amen.